Well, thank you so much for staying with us right here, Press TV, as we continue our extensive coverage of the situation in Gaza. I'm going to immediately cross over to Gaza and have our correspondent, Press TV's correspondent, Ashraf Shannon, fill us in on the latest situation that has taken place this on day 16 of the Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip. Ashraf, please fill us in on the latest situations taking place there.
Yes, Marzia, at least 15 people have been killed today by the Israeli tank shelling and aerial attacks on the southern Gaza Strip town of Khan Yunis and on northern Gaza. The bloodshed is nonstop in the Gaza Strip. Most of the fatalities and most of the injuries are among children, women, and the elderly, despite the statements by the Israeli ambassador to the USA. Even now, I can hear the explosions not far from where we are right now near the beach in Gaza. Israel continues to attack the civilians in Gaza, continues to kill and maim anything on the way of the Israeli soldiers who are trying to go deeper into the Gaza Strip, but they're unable due to the fierce resistance they're facing from resistance fighters from Hamas, from the Islamic Jihad, and from other Palestinian factions. Islamic Jihad claims to have killed at least 10 soldiers. This is a statement made by them about half an hour ago. We're still waiting for any confirmation from the Israelis or from the Israeli media. And also Hamas's military wing, the Qassam Brigade, said that it fired a surface-to-air missile, targeted an Israeli F-16 fighter jets and hitting it. We're still also waiting for any reactions from the Israelis to the statement made by Hamas. So fierce fighting continues in Gaza. Palestinian resistance factions in east of the central Gaza Strip, refugee camp of Al-Burej, and east of Al-Maghazi in northern Gaza, east of Beth Hanun in northern Gaza, and north of the northern Gaza Strip town of Beth Lahia. Fighting continues there. Israeli tanks, armored personnel carriers try to go deeper, but they're unable because of the strong resistance they're facing there.
Well, let's look at that, Ashraf, what you just mentioned, the strong resistance. And what we're seeing, of course, the figures that are coming out of from the resistance, Israel is not admitting to. But either way, they have lost many soldiers, according to at least their standard anyway. And the resistance is being very steadfast in the situation. And now we see that today, actually, from many countries, European countries, United States and Canada, that even they've canceled their flights into Tel Aviv. What does that say about the overall effectiveness of the resistance this time around? And what do people there think about this in general?
Well, the reason that some countries airline companies have canceled their flights to and from Israel is not because of the fighting in Gaza, but because of the hundreds of rockets. Almost 150 rockets are fired towards Israel on a daily basis from the Gaza Strip.
Exactly.
And some of them land near the Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. So that could jeopardize planes landing or leaving, and airline companies don't want to deal with insurance companies with fatalities or their airplanes being damaged or blown up by rockets fired from Gaza.
But that in itself, they're saying that is a victory in a sense that the resistance has been that effective to affect what is happening inside, for example, of Tel Aviv. In general, now we right before you came on, Ashraf, you know, we run the video of showing the situation in Gaza, and of course the children are a very big part of that. Tell me, when you are dealing with this day in and day out, and of course you guys are also covering a lot of times you are at the hospital or you're on the scene when these terrible incidents happen. I mean, how are the families, one, coping with the situation that's taking place, especially the loss of a child, and also yourselves watching this day in and day out?
Um, It's very hard to describe our feelings as journalists. We try to hold our tears as much as we can, because we want the families to be strong and go through this tragic situation with as much with as little as possible of maybe psychological damage. So we try to cheer the children on, especially the injured ones. And we also have this problem with our kids. I have 6 kids of my own, and every time I leave the house, they beg me not to leave it because they're afraid that I might not come back, and they're afraid that I might get injured. They're afraid to be in the house. I know their mom is there, but still, it's not the same. They want the whole, you know, sense of security, sense of family, which hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza don't have anymore.
All right, Ashraf, thank you so much for being with us. And, of course, we'll be checking later on in other news bulletins. Thanks, Ashraf. Let me cross over to Henry Noor from the Palestinian Solidarity Movement out of Berkeley, California. Mr. Noor, just devastation when we look at some of the areas of the Gaza Strip and what has taken place. And we have reports that, again, this morning, there seems to be a similar incident that happened, like happened the other day, that a particular neighborhood was basically inundated with reports. Now we're getting that there are people laying on the ground and perhaps under the rubble. And yet the deafening silence. What will it take, sir? What do you think it will take from the so-called international community to put pressure on Israel to stop their onslaught?
Well, I wish I had a good answer to that question. but I think perhaps you're being a little too pessimistic. I think, in fact, the really heroic resistance that the people of Gaza are putting up has already forced beginning to make some changes in the international climate. I mean, so far it's just little minor rhetorical things where, you know, I saw that Fabius, the foreign minister in France, said the casualties were unacceptable, and Obama is saying this and that about how we're so concerned about the civilian deaths and so on.
Okay, stay with me, Mr. Noor. We're having some problems there with the audio. I will come back to you. Let me cross over to Sydney, Australia, and get political commentator Ms. Mimi Al-Laham in on this. Ms. Al-Laham, when you look at this situation, and interesting enough, because you're also an active at dealing with the situation in Syria, and we see various entities perhaps verbally saying that they are against what is happening, but basically nothing is done. I want to look at the aspect of how much of what we're seeing here is related to what we have seen 3 years in Syria, basically trying to break the resistance, basically trying to stop the country or the entities that actually help the Palestinian resistance the most.
Absolutely, it has everything to do with it. I mean, the rockets that Hamas has been firing at Israel have in fact been Syrian rockets. I mean, the Syrian state has in fact been helping the Palestinian resistance along with the Iranian state as well, and any resistance in the region against Israel the most. And they help them not with words or with money, that can be pocketed by certain corrupt individuals, but with actual physical weapons that would actually help resistance. Hamas's biggest mistake, I believe, was that 3 years ago, instead of standing with the Syrian people against what was clearly a Zionist plot to weaken the Syrian state and destroy resistance in the region, they, in fact, sided with Qatar. And what have they gained since? I mean, Israel has been slaughtering Palestinians in the in Gaza and the West Bank several times since what has happened in Syria. And, you know, Israel is simultaneously attacking Syria while this is happening with the various airstrikes and by supporting insurgents on the Golan Heights border. So what has the states that are claiming to support the Palestinians, such as Saudi Arabia and Qatar, gained the Palestinian people? You know, the ceasefire...